There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You know, it really is funny to me that some of these active players who are on teams that aren't very good will criticize other organizations out loud. And I'm looking at you, Micah Parsons. So Micah Parsons is in the middle of this season with the Dallas Cowboys. That is a mess. They're probably going to not have Dak Prescott for a number of weeks now. You know, they can't win a game at home, just like the Giants. They had much higher expectations than the Giants did. And he's talking about Saquon Barkley. And Saquon Barkley, this is his quote on that. The Giants did not appreciate him, and now the rest of the league is facing the consequences of the Giants' stupidity. Like, this whole revisionist history Saquon Barkley thing is driving me nuts. He is a very good player, and with the Philadelphia Eagles, he's having a great season, which is nothing that we did not expect. Lots of people play fantasy football, drafted Saquon Barkley very high because they thought he was going to have a good year. That doesn't mean that the Giants should have kept him in the state of the organization that they are in. He's a running back on a team that's going nowhere, that the majority of his time here, they were either losing or he was hurt. And Saquon Barkley being on the New York Giants would not make them much better than they are right now. And that is a fact. And the general manager had a number that he would pay him. He didn't want to go past it. He stuck with it. And it sucks that he's on a rival and he's having a good year. But you can't tell me that Saquon Barkley on the Giants has them in the conversation with the Washington Commanders to be leading the division. They'd still be 2-7. I guarantee you that team would still be 2-7.
Or in the case of Saquon, he may have a bruised hamstring or something along those lines. He was oft injured here. He was much respected and liked here. All I could say for him is he does have the motivation to do what he's doing. There's no question about that. And he's showing everybody just how important he is. I don't know. You know, it's a weird deal. I mean, things got stale here for him. He should feel like he was like free Willy, like, you know, free Saquon. And he has been freed because he's on an offense now that has other legitimate options other than him. And, you know, when they break him out of the backfield, he's usually going up against a linebacker, and there isn't really a linebacker in the NFL that could stay with him.
Yeah.
And he now creates so many problems for the opposing defense because they got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. You know, I mean, they have, you know, Jalen Hurts, a running quarterback that runs with purpose and will actually make a throw down the field by creating an extra play. So, I don't know. He's in the right spot at the right time for him and his career, which is great. The Giants basically are stuck in mediocrity and irrelevance.
Yeah, and Saquon Barkley being on the team was not going to help that. They were stuck in mediocrity and irrelevance prior to that. They were there in that same situation last year. And yeah, they went to the playoffs the one year, but I mean, You know, that was a Daniel Jones game. That wasn't even a Saquon game. That was a Daniel Jones game in up in Minnesota. It was the best game he ever played.
Saquon Barkley has over 1,000 scrimmage yards through 8 games for the Eagles. And in Eagles history, only 2 other players have done this. Brian Westbrook and LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
That's how good Saquon Barkley is playing for the Eagles.
Yeah, those are 2 separate things. I mean, I expected him to be... I thought maybe he'd get hurt because he tends to miss a couple of games every year.
Well, there's a long way to go yet this year.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, I figured he would be much better with the Eagles because of their offense, because of their quarterback, because of the wide receivers, because of essentially everything.
How about Philadelphia at Dallas this week, and Dallas without Dak Prescott?
Yeah, I mean, and now...
You talk about catching the team at the right time.
Well, you could have caught him with Dak Prescott, and it wouldn't have mattered because the team stinks anyway, but it's even worse now. So, yeah, and then Micah Parsons talking about other organizations being stupid in his own division. I mean, stop. You guys are bad, man. I mean,
your team stinks right now.
Right.
Actually, your quarterback was walking off the field and saying, "We effing suck."
I didn't see that,
yeah,
did
they? They caught him mouthing that to one of his teammates or a coach or somebody.
Oh, great. Yeah, well, he's not wrong, right?
Yeah, so maybe Micah could somehow work that into his... And you got to remember, you had Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs basically saying that Dak Prescott was not a top 10 quarterback when they were listing their top 10 quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much more harm done than good. Now, I don't know
That is a mess down there. I would say there in Chicago right now, I forget about the losing teams and what happened in the Saints, and we know what's going on in Cleveland and all this other stuff. But there are 2 teams right now where you got to, if you are the coach, things are like teetering.
Oh, they should have never kept. See, this is the problem. They ended up playing well towards the end of the year, the Bears. And their defense got better. They made that Montez Sweat trade, and their defense was really, really good. And essentially, they won a few games down the stretch.
And Eberflus is a defensive coach.
Right. So he ends up keeping his job. But the risk that you run there, unless you think that you've got the guy, the coach, who's going to take you to a Super Bowl and you love him that much, is now you're bringing in the number 1 overall pick. He's going to work under this coach. And if it doesn't work, now you got to start all over again with a different coach and a different offense. And then it's like you're back to square one again with your rookie quarterback. And that's exactly how these guys get screwed up, just like we saw here with the Jets and the Giants many years in a row. Where you'd get, okay, here's one guy, fire him. Here's another guy, new offense, changing coordinators, changing head coaches. And they should have made a move. They should have made a push. Maybe I don't know if Jim Harbaugh would have gone there over the Chargers, but they should have made a push for somebody else.
You know, the worst part about like Dallas is that, you know, Mike McCarthy is a lame duck coach.
He's done. Yeah.
And the coach who doesn't have the contract extension in his last year, you don't think the players know that?
Oh, of course. I mean, yeah. I mean, that thing is going to be. I would be shocked if they played well down the stretch. That's got like a 6-win season written all over it.
So you have teams like the Raiders that are, you know, just fired 3 offensive coaches. They're on a bye this week, so I don't know what the hell Antonio Pierce is going to do. That's going to be in a whole new situation there. You know, is that Ben Johnson's next head coaching job? Is that what Tom Brady is going to tell Mark Davis? Look, we're going to have the first overall pick in the draft, most likely.
I mean, if you're...
And if we do and we get Shedeur Sanders, I want Ben Johnson coaching that guy.
Are they going to get the first overall pick? You got the Panthers and the Giants. Might have something to say about that.
Well, this weekend, the loser.
Yep, that's true. I mean, it'll probably be the Panthers.
Titans are also in there.
Man, the Panthers
the Saints
should...
are in there.
If the Panthers end up with the number 1 overall pick again, they should get stripped of that. You just had your shot 2 years ago and you blew it. You shouldn't get it again. Roger Goodell should come in and say, sorry, you guys get the 3rd pick this time.
Actually, what they should do is they should put, you know, they should relegate these teams to like the Big Ten or something.
Yeah, I would do it. I mean, the Panthers are just ripe for
again,
relegation.
You know, that team, it's the ownership disaster.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's a maniac, throwing drinks on people, firing coaches. He's a mess. That franchise is a mess. But, yeah, I think the only way like someone like Ben Johnson goes to the Raiders is exactly that. If they get the number 1 overall pick and they're pick of the litter when it comes to quarterbacks, and he's like, okay, I can run with this guy. But, I mean, the Vegas Raiders does not seem like, I mean.
Raiders had it going right with John Gruden. You know what I'm saying? They had it going right. And then somebody decided to, like, torpedo him.
Right.
I mean, like, he was the guy that was the attitude of the team, and Derek Carr could survive underneath that heavy-handed coaching that John Gruden brought.
Have you seen him lately, by the way, Gruden, and what he's doing?
Yeah, he's doing some Instagram stuff. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I think it's mostly TikTok, but it ends up on Instagram Reels. Like, I got to give him credit because he was a guy that obviously, you know, caught up with these emails and different things, got trashed, and some of the things that were written in there, obviously, you can't defend. But he decided, like, screw it. Like, I'm just going to lean in on my crazy personality.
Yeah.
And go on social media and try to reinvent myself that way and do the things that people like about me. And I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple of years that this might work to the point where he'd get another shot. I mean, if you're a team, and I don't know how this works. I don't know if the NFL is going to be like, man, you can't hire him. Do you think that would happen if they were like looking into Gruden at the NFL? Be like, man, we don't want to deal with this. You can't do it. Would they blackball someone like him from behind the scenes to not be able to PR?
I think that's part of the fight that's going on behind the scenes right now, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he had the Raiders going in the right direction. He was a Raider coach. He was the Raider attitude. And he brought the best out in Derek Carr.
See, think about this. All right, I'm pitching this right now.
Okay.
And I don't know if anybody else has said this. I feel like I'm right on the cusp of something special here. All right, ready? So we have talked about how the Jets are going to have a new head coach and how Woody Johnson has essentially put himself in a position where he's not going to get the good candidate, like the top coordinator or the top coach, like a Vrabel or a Belichick, who were head coaches before and don't have a job now. They're not going to go to the Jets for a number of reasons. One, people saw what he did to Rob Saleh, and whether we think it was the right move or not, that's going to reverberate throughout the coaching community. And two, you've got Bill Belichick on a weekly basis trashing Woody Johnson and just completely making a mockery of the organization. And
I
the
think
owner.
That also goes all the way back to the Eric Mangini stuff.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So people now are saying, all right, so what coach can you get if we can't get those coaches? Let's go back and get Rex Ryan off of TV and put him as the Jets head coach and try to go back to your old girlfriend. No, the guy you get is John Gruden. Because he'd take the job.
Yes, he would.
He wouldn't care about the Woody Johnson stuff.
Yeah.
He'd have a chip on his shoulder like you wouldn't believe. I mean, the guy's a Super Bowl winning head coach. That's the guy you got to get. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd have to look back at these emails and really dive into them and figure out exactly what the hell's going on.
What was in those emails, Al? Do you remember?
I actually don't. I'm sure they were ridiculous. I don't recall what they were.
There was probably someone with a female referee. Right?
How about this? It's being, I don't know. I don't know if this is true or not. Raiders may consider John Gruden for offensive coordinator role.
Perfect. Get him back in there. Then he's on the market as a head coach again.
They're also saying John Gruden will become the New Orleans Saints head coach to replace Dennis Allen next year.
No. Jets got to jump in on that. Jets have to. That's the guy for the Jets. Gotta be him. We gotta find some of those. I think they're clean. We gotta find some of those John Gruden TikToks where he just goes.
Yeah, I know. I've seen a bunch of them. Actually.
No, I know, but I want to play some if we can find the audio. We'll look.
So, but I mean, the question is how you know defamatory and debilitating are those emails? I saw a couple of those things and I was just I stopped reading them. I was like, I don't want to read this crap anymore.
Is there a difference between giving players second chances with issues like hit and runs and domestic violence and stuff like that, or Deshaun Watson and 10 million creepy massage suits against him and these emails with John Gruden because he's a head coach?
Yeah, that's whataboutism, right? I mean, like,
so. No, it's not. It's because it's the same. It's the league and second chances. It's not whataboutism. It's someone who
but
has.
If somebody did something else wrong. And you're giving them a second chance, and this guy did something wrong. Why aren't you giving him a second chance?
But it's the same. I wonder. Like it's, but there's right. It's not. Is it whataboutism or is it hypocrisy? Like I don't know. So like if a player's got those emails, he's coming back and playing if he's worth a hill of crap. You know it and I know it. You've seen enough of these guys. Hitting runs and beating up girlfriends and guns in airports and whatever the hell else. For God's sakes. I mean, so? I just want to know. Is he looked at differently because it's a head coach and not a player?
All right,
that's my question.
Here's what is being written about John Gruden and what happened to him, okay? Yeah. The former Raiders head coach resigned back in 2021 due to the Wall Street Journal reporting on homophobic, racist, and sexist emails he had sent in the past. It's now been a few years since his resignation, and the Raiders owner, Mark Davis, has been on record saying he never wanted Gruden to leave in the first place. So there you have it.
Okay.
It makes me, reading that, it makes me think that there is a very good chance that somehow this maniac is going to be back in the NFL. And I'm sure that, if the owner of the Raiders is saying, I didn't want him to leave in the first place, you know, I don't know why he left then.
Maybe he's back. No, but he left because the NFL put pressure on Mark Davis, I'm sure. As, without a doubt, that's what it was.
I can make a couple phone calls later on and find out exactly how deep this goes and how derogatory all these things were. You know, I mean, I didn't see any of it. Did you see any of the...
The things I remember were about that whole scandal. I remember the Dan Snyder and the cheerleaders thing.
Right.
And I remember, I'm pretty sure he was ripping a female referee in one of those emails.
He actually went 22-31, and he never led the Raiders to the playoffs after he came out of the TV booth. You know, but I felt like they were competitive. You know what I mean?
Well, that was the Mike Mayock, John Gruden,
yes,
like combination there, right?
Right.
Yeah, my point is that the Jets are going to have a tough time finding anybody worth their salt to take that job, and this might be your answer. This might be your answer. I mean, don't you need someone like that?
I mean, Rex was a little bit controversial when they hired him.
He certainly was, but I wouldn't go back to that. Right? Yeah, like, I don't...
No, I'm not saying go back to that. I'm just saying when they did hire Rex...
This would probably be more controversial than that, I would think. This would be. After him being out of the league and essentially kicked out of the league.
So, I'm just trying to think. Like, how many guys are on a football team right now? 80? Or about 63 or whatever. What is it? Like,
well, it's 53 on the active that can dress 10, and play.
And then 10 taxi squad guys, right? So 73 or 63, plus the entire coaching staff, which is predominantly men, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to sit here and tell me that the rest of the NFL and their locker rooms aren't sexist, misogynistic, you know, idiotic at times?
I mean, is that what about?
I mean, the whole NFL is probably like this.
Well, this is what I'm trying to tell you, and you throw what about is it?
You know, I don't even know about the thing about it is, and I agree with Patrick Mahomes because I've said this a lot way back when in the day. You know, if everybody were like an NFL locker room, I think everybody would get along.
Yeah,
because everybody's busting everybody's chops, and it could be along racial lines, it could be along sexual lines, it could be along any sort of like. Anything that people think that there is a weakness about you, they're going after.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, you're either have a neck. You know, you remember when Caliendo went in there, the comedian went in there and he was playing John Gruden in front of the Raiders players.
Yeah.
And he looked over at Glennon, the backup quarterback.
Yeah, yeah,
what stuck out about Glennon?
It was his neck.
Yeah, and he goes, yeah. Glennon, you got a long neck. We like it. Something like that. You know, yeah. I mean, like, everybody just takes ripping shots at everybody else.
Yeah, of course.
And that's the beauty of the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, I do think when it's in print and you get wrapped up with some of the Dan Snyder stuff, it became a problem for him. But, I mean, the point is well taken that not everybody is a choir boy.
And I think John Gruden probably helped so many people along the way that you don't even realize all the different things he's done as a coach. And
I'm sure he's got a lot of allies in the NFL. Yeah.
I'm sure he does, too.
Right. Oh, that's the guy for the Jets. Wouldn't that shake some crap up?
I'll tell you, the people in New Orleans wouldn't want him. I mean, look, let's face it. because of Bountygate, Sean Payton got suspended for a year. Mm-hmm. He got another job. And that was, you know, paying guys to go after guys to get hurt at the hurt guys.
I'm just reading this. Aaron Rodgers, no place in the game for opinions John Gruden expressed in emails.
When was that?
October 12th, 2021. Yeah, I mean, well, maybe
I think a lot of guys were probably asked the question about John Gruden and probably would have the same answer.
Yeah, well, maybe Aaron Rodgers isn't here then. Maybe he's not here. It's just the brand new quarterback and the whole thing.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So I asked Boomer before, I said, do you think that the NFL would block John Gruden from getting a job? And you said, I don't know. You know, I mean, I could talk to some people. I got to go through those emails. And then looking back in some of those emails, he did call Roger Goodell some rough things. So Roger Goodell would probably have to.
I would think Roger Goodell's used to that. I mean, you got to be like, you take that job. I mean, the slings and arrows that come your way, both from the public and from internal people at different teams, has got to be just, you know, that's why they pay him the money they pay him. With all that crap.
I know. I just wonder, is he going to let it go all these years later? Or is he going to hold that grudge and say, no, we don't want him back in the league? I don't know, but. I mean, it's, you know, how long can you keep this guy out of the league?
You know, the NFL is not a kindergarten class.
Right, yeah.
Okay, it is competitive as hell. It's demanding as hell. You got, you know, 32 owners that are all over the league office all the time about creating more opportunities, more money, building the league. This is why, you know, he entertains ideas like a Super Bowl overseas. That's why he, you know, tries to get new stadiums built for all these teams. That's why they're paying him all this money. And along with all of that, you know damn well, internally, you think Robert Kraft, through Spygate and Deflategate, and you think he was happy with the commissioner?
No, of course not.
Do you think Bill Belichick was happy with the commissioner?
No.
Do you think Tom Brady was happy with the commissioner?
No.
Of course not.
Yeah.
I mean, you can imagine what the conversations behind the scenes must have been like.
Gruden to the Jets. Let's get it done. Get him here makes a ton of sense.
I'll tell you right now, here's the thing. You know, he was so popular that teams like the Saints, like the Raiders, like the Jets, this is like the woebegone franchises, it feels like.
He would be the guy to resurrect them.
And they'll all take chances on a guy, and they'll do it under the auspices of giving him a second chance, mm-hmm. which is fine. I mean, like, that's great. Give him a second chance.
I mean, the Jets need a guy like that. We know that.
That's who Rex Ryan was.
Right. And even better in the sense of, like,
he had experience and he won a Super Bowl. Like Rex Ryan was a coordinator, came here with that big personality and it worked. And now you got John Gruden with all that experience and winning. That like that is the guy with the Wobegons. That's another thing I have not heard in a long time.
The Wobegons. The Wobegon franchises, the Wobegons. Ones that are lost, like the Raiders gave, just to get somebody down there with some sort of legitimacy.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know, it's a. And I'm sure players are going to have their point of view. I'm sure. You know, I guess he went after Damari Smith, who was the former head of the NFLPA, and he used a couple of words or phrases that were very unkind. And he felt as if this guy was dishonest and was on the take and was corrupt. And I think that's one of the reasons why he wrote the email the way he wrote it, to Bruce Allen, who then was the president of the Washington Redskins when Daniel Snyder owned the team.
All right, let's get to Jerry's update. What's happening, Jerry?
Got the perfect guy for you, really. It's a no-brainer. Just reunite Aaron Rodgers with Mike McCarthy next year. It's perfect. Won a Super Bowl together.
Man, oh, man.
All right, we're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us.
Although that would be good for our show.
Real clothes for real life. Yes, McCarthy.
Would that not be? That would be perfect for us.
Absolutely, it would be. I think John Gruden would be better. But yes, it would be good.
We get to the Monday night game, Chiefs and Bucks in overtime.
Touchdown wins it. Mahomes under center. Gets the snap, spins. Hunt cut the block. Running over the right guard. Touchdown, Chiefs. They win it in overtime. 30-24. And they go to 8-0.
Yes, they do. Kevin Harlan wins.
Great point. And just so you know, Kansas City yet again does not cover a big spread at home.
They don't care. Just win games.
They just, right. But, there are people out there that do care.
That is very true. Kareem Hunt, 106 yards, and that game winner. Patrick Mahomes, 291, three touchdowns. Two of them go to DeAndre Hopkins. But I'm going to play a clip here, and I'm wondering, maybe there's a path for you to get back in the booth if you'd like, because maybe there's a little rift between these two. So this is first, this is Kevin Harlan, when Travis Kelce fumbles the ball away.
It's a fumble by Kelce after he spun and dove and was whacked at the 45 of the Buccaneers on the painted numbers, and a fumble! Kelce has fumbled the ball for the Chiefs. The drive will end. The Buccaneers will take over. Kelce the fumble, his girlfriend is here. 53 seconds to go in the half, and the Buccaneers, down by three, will get a shot.
And then there's a few seconds of crowd noise, and Kurt Warner chimes in.
Is that an important note that his girlfriend is here after he fumbled
it? They keep showing her, and just as a reporter, I think we've got to say something,
okay,
right?
I'm with you.
A little friction in the booth, maybe?
No.
Kevin and Boomer, you guys get reunited.
Well, yeah. I think what it was is he's looking at that monitor.
They
show her.
How many
after
times
the
did they show her last night?
I don't know. Didn't count.
Isn't somebody counting now? I thought there was somebody counting.
I thought they were kind of over that.
I don't think they're over that.
I don't even think of it anymore, to be honest, until you see it.
Well,
you
know? You saw her walking in last night on X.
Right, but all I mean is like
it's a big thing. Man.
I don't
Come
think
on.
Of the Chiefs. Oh, it's a Taylor Swift game. I don't think of it until you see it again.
Kurt Warner sounded fed up. Is that an important note that his girlfriend was here?
I thought so, too.
Is that an important note that his girlfriend is here after he fumbled
it? They keep showing her, and just as...
And by the way, he is on the radio, so he does have to paint the picture. Does he not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like we painted the picture for the Eagle-Giant game.
Paint the picture. That's right. You are right. Now, before this game, his Travis's brother Jason was on ESPN, and we know about the phone smashing from last week. So this is how Scott Van Pelt basically gave him the floor to get something off his chest.
Listen, I'm not happy with anything that took place. I'm not proud of it, and you know, in a heated moment, I chose to greet hate with hate, and I just don't think. That's a productive thing. I really don't.
He says,
you know what? If I were him, I would have said, look, man, there was a jackass following me with a phone. What do you expect me to do? I'm sorry that I did it, but you know what?
You know what's funny? He didn't say he was sorry. The headlines say he apologized.
I don't think he said that. I think
he's
explaining.
Once apologized, right?
I felt like he should have said, look, if you walk with a jackass following you with a phone, how are you going to feel?
Well, he said he was weak in the moment.
I don't think that you know, it leads to discourse, and it's the right way to go about things. And in that moment, I fell down to a level that I shouldn't have.
Let me ask you a question. Like, so what's the alternative? Just to keep walking and having this guy following him?
Hold your head high and just keep walking and don't do that again in the future is what he's saying. And don't stoop down to their level.
Yeah, I understand that, but there comes a point where somebody becomes completely annoying and in your space.
Yep.
No matter how much free speech we want.
But you know what they would say then? That's whataboutism.
I know he hit that with me earlier.
Nonsensical bullcrap.
And I was like, is it whataboutism or are we just talking about the same thing? Is it the same league? I don't know. I liked the fact that the jerk got a piece of being a jerk.
I agree.
Like, and yes, I could sit here and tell you that Jason Kelce should have handled himself differently and blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's been certain situations where I have lost my mind for reasons I shouldn't have lost my mind. All of us are in those situations. So he just like, it's okay. It's all right.
Only so much you can take.
Like and I know we had a caller call up and say he's, you know, yesterday was a police officer, like he should have been arrested for whatever the charges were of throwing the phone. I mean, Jason Kelce could have knocked that guy out.
And then be sued
hurt him.
Yeah, and be sued for $10 million because this guy
arrested for assault.
This guy provoked him.
Right.
100% was provoking him into a confrontation.
And I'm not even one of these guys.
When does that ever become part of the story?
Well, it is. It is part of the story.
But if he turned around and hit him, as the cop called in yesterday, he stole the phone because it was, you know, freedom of speech and all that, whatever. But the guy is provoking you.
Mm-hmm.
And when does that, like, if you were sitting in front of a jury and you said, look, man, this guy is sitting here provoking me for like 45 seconds, harassing me, provoking me. What am I supposed to do? Just keep walking and just have the guy continue to follow you?
Unfortunately, that's what they will say to do, and it's just so hard to do that. I mean, and he, like I said, it could have been worse. He smashed his phone. He got in his face. The guy actually physically put his hands on Jason Kelce. We saw that video after the caller alerted us to that. Jason Kelce, think about the restraint that he's got to have when he's bending down to pick up that phone. This guy physically pushes him to the ground. Like, Jason Kelce doesn't get up and clock him? I mean, he should be, give him a little pat on the back for that.
You know, you almost wonder, he might have been better off because that you could call that self-defense as opposed to grabbing the phone and destroying it.
After the guy puts his hands on him?
Yeah. I'm just thinking, if Jason Kelce would hit him with an uppercut in jaw,
he might
have killed him.
Yeah, it's true.
So maybe he recognized that, and maybe that's why he thought better than really having a physical altercation with the guy.
Right.
The guy is lucky. Guy's a jackass.
I agree. Yankees agree to have Gerrit Cole come back. Current remaining terms of his contract, 4 years, $144, basically because Cole said he wanted to be back. And maybe Boris bit off more than he could chew.
Who knows? The Yankees said, we're not paying you that extra 50 year. We're not doing it.
Yankees did not extend a qualifying offer to Gleyber Torres. We heard from Joe Kelly last hour. This hour, I'm going to give you Dave Roberts.
Can I just ask you one question?
Yeah.
So Yankees tell Gerrit Cole, we're not picking up that option. So with... Are they telling Gerrit Cole at that point, you can leave if you want?
Yeah, because he becomes a free agent then by not picking up.
Exactly.
They weren't going to void it.
Yeah. So, and were the Yankees willing to say, walk out the door, see?
I think so, and I also think they had a tremendous amount of leverage because of the way that the contract was and the money that he was getting, that no one else was going to give him that at 35 years old coming off a season where he started on the IL. So
that means the Yankees were ready to walk away from Gerrit Cole.
But they knew they weren't.
That's or they just called his bluff.
Right.
You know?
And he doesn't want to be anywhere else.
I know. It's kind of one of those, it was interesting that when we were talking about it yesterday, I didn't even think about this being a possibility. I thought it had to be one or the other.
Because that's the way it was written. And it was a unique situation. And we could only go on what we were told by the columns. I mean, no one presented that as a possibility that it just basically be like, no, we're not picking it up. We're going to pay you this and you're going to accept it. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Anyway.
The Mets gave qualifying offers to Pete Alonso, Sean Manaea, and Luis Severino. The Knicks played in Houston last night, wound up coming up short to the Rockets.
93-92 with 4.5 to play. Van Vliet Shingun. Goes inside, layup is good.
Yeah, he played quite well, as a matter of fact. Team High 25 points, 14 boards, 4 block shots. Houston beats New York 109-97. The Rockets getting some help along the way from Fred Van Vliet as well. He had 19 in the loss, a game high 29 for Jalen Brunson. The Nets did beat the Grizzlies last night 106-104. Cam Johnson and Dennis Schroeder scoring 20 points apiece. Also of note, the Suns beat the Sixers 118-116. So Paul George played his first game with Philly. We always talk about awareness and who's really in tune to the game. So here's Paul George. The Sixers were down 2 in the final seconds, and he takes a long 2 from just inside the 3-point line. And reporters are wondering, well, why didn't you just step back and go for the win in that spot rather than a long 2 to tie? He gave you a very honest answer.
I thought we were down 1. I thought KD made the layup that put them up 1. Otherwise, go for the 3 to try to win the game opposed to going for a 2 to tie the game. So after watching it, another bonehead play. Again, in that situation, why not go for the win?
Right. Good for him.
Yeah, he was very honest.
I got to be honest with you, as dumb as that is to not have awareness, yeah. I am good for him for saying I'm a bonehead for not knowing that.
Yes, he did.
And he said another bonehead play.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a good
bonehead
look.
Plays as he had.
I didn't see it. I don't know.
But Toby makes a bunch of bonehead plays against the Knicks.
Well, Kevin Durant did have 35. I'll have Durant versus Stephen A. next hour for you. St. John's beat Fordham 92-60. Seton Hall had a 4-point win over St. Peter's. But I guess they didn't play great. Shaheen Holloway had his hand wrapped. He said something happened at halftime, so I don't know if he was yelling at his team and he smacked. I don't know what happened, but that was interesting. The Devils shut out the Oilers 3-0. Jake Allen, 31 saves.
McDavid did not play.
Right, there you go. Bratt, Meyer, and Nason with goals. You got the Islanders and the Penguins tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We want to get some of these calls in here because we've been talking some John Gruden, we've been talking some Giants, we talk everything really today, Patrick Mahomes, the Yankees. So let's get into it. Also, yesterday, you know, we had a discussion about Peter Schwartz and the Red Bulls and why he jammed the Red Bulls into that update. And then, of course, he goes on X and goes, I have to address some of the lies that were being out there. But, you know, I hate to say it, and I wasn't going to engage on X with him and go back and forth. But, I mean, we saw the text message that he sent somebody representing the Red Bulls about the car. So, like, he could say what he wants.
Yes.
But I saw it. I saw the text message where he asked for the car. So, whatever. Anyway, let's get to Tim on Long Island. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right, Timmy. What's happening?
First time, long time. So I took my son to the opening night last night at St. John's.
Yeah,
nice. Down in my seat. The gentleman sitting in front of me. I look over. It's Peter Schwartz and his younger son.
Wow. So if you sat directly behind Peter, you didn't see any of the game.
I'd have my son on my lap the whole time. Gonna go over and say hello, but the only thing I thought about was yesterday morning tickets. I'm gonna say, hey Peter, who paid for these tickets here, buddy?
Yeah, that's 100% was a freebie. There's no doubt about it that he probably got those for free. And you know what? Maybe he deserved it this time around. Maybe he did something for St. John's. Who knows? But good atmosphere last night there, Tim.
It was phenomenal. It was a little hairy in the first half when we got the 2 points, but the second half was a blowout, so it was great.
You think we got a team?
We will definitely be in the tournament this year.
All right. I hope so, man.
I will say one thing about Peter Schwartz. You got to give it to him. If there's a sporting event to go to around here, there isn't anybody who supports the local sporting events more than he does.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, from the Red Bulls to St. John's to the Knicks to the Islanders.
But if he's not paying for any of the tickets,
he goes to things. I mean, I've never, out of everybody around here, nobody goes to more things than he does. Maybe Evan, because there's baseball involved, and Evan goes to like 100 baseball games. But when you think about the amount of events that he and his boys go to, I mean, and sometimes his wife goes with him. I mean, it's really insane. Like, he's never home.
And you know, and this is why he gets like the free tickets and stuff, because he'll go to anything. So like, and because he's got some standing in the media, these PR guys that work for these programs that want any sort of attention will be like, sure, Peter, like, come on, roll out. And maybe he'll say something when he's on the air.
And I have to say, like, I appreciated it because he would always come to our football all-star game.
Yeah.
He and the kids and his wife would always come, would always be there. He would always cover the game. He'd always be a part of the fabric of the community. So that part of it.
I can guarantee you.
It's legit.
I could guarantee there was a discussion at some point, whether it was the Riptide or the Long Island Lizards or one of these teams, that somebody said, listen, man, we're in trouble. The Schwartzes didn't even come to the game today.
That's the point. I mean, like,
we are in trouble. Like, we can't. If we lost them, then we probably lost everybody.
I would like to deem him a community icon.
I have many times already.
I mean, I almost feel like there should be, like, on the LIE, right as you cross into Nassau County from Queens, a statue of Peter welcoming everybody to Long Island. Or maybe out at the Long Island Welcome Center out on the LIE.
Which he has a problem with, by the way.
Why does he have a problem with that now?
Because he says it's too deep into Long Island to be a welcome center. Because, like, exit 53.
But there's nowhere else. There was nowhere else to put it.
It's perfect for me.
Are you going to put it over there by Glen Cove Road? Are you out of your mind?
I wouldn't. I mean, no. It's in a perfect spot over there.
They needed a place where there was some space.
You're right over there by the Sagdicos.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, like, I don't know where else. There was, believe me, from the Queens line all the way until Suffolk County line, there's really no place to put anything like that.
Of course not. I mean, it's just so jam-packed. Everything is just stuck together in that area.
Yes.
There's no land for nothing. Oh, let's go to Carmine in New Jersey. What's going on, Carmine?
Gentlemen, how are you today? Thanks for
All right, Carmine.
Call.
What's happening, brother?
What's happening? Gruden, come on. You know, he got caught up in an investigation of an owner of the NFL, and they deflected that investigation to his emails. You know, in all fairness to him, he got burned. But I think Boomer, knowing him, I know him a long time, by the way, and knowing the way his players felt about him and the way he treated his players, whether they were gay, black, green, or white, John Gruden is a man's man. And he really took care of his players, every one of them, from Green Bay all the way to Oakland, to wherever he was with Tampa Bay. The guy's a really good guy. I know that,
Carmen. That's why I said, you know, if the players have a say, I think they would want him back. I mean, my sense is that, yeah, he got screwed by Bruce Allen, and he got screwed by, you know, Dan Snyder, and the NFL was investigating.
And the commissioner. I know, you know, you get paid, buddy, but and the commissioner. You know, you got to be honest about it.
Well, the commissioner has to sit in judgment of all 32 of these franchises, Carmine. You know, it is not easy to do what he does and sit in judgment of all this.
Well, he also, I mean, John Gruden did go after Roger Goodell. Pretty severely in those emails. Now, I don't disagree with anything that Carmine said, but. But we have that is part of the story. It's not like Roger Goodell went after John Gruden without taking a shot himself. It was two very, very specific shots.
Again, you know, you're in a. I don't want to have to explain the commissioner's job again, over and over and over again, and the things that he has to deal with. Now, he gets paid an enormous amount of money, but he has made all these 32 owners' franchises significantly more wealthier. Due in large part to all the things that he has been able to accomplish. Whether you like it or you don't, that's his job. His job is to grow the league and then police the league. And believe you me, from Spygate to Bountygate to you name it, to footballs, I mean, the amount of crap that comes across his desk. And I'm not feeling sorry for him, but, you know, he could let all this stuff go by the wayside.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe there are some things that have gone by the way. So I don't know. But for the most part, anytime he gets embroiled in one of these situations, whether it be with a player like Deshaun Watson or a player like Ray Rice or a coach like John Gruden or an owner like Bob Kraft, I mean, it's just one thing after the next.
Yeah,
and you're trying.
He's very well compensated for it.
That's why I said he is. And there's a reason for that. Yeah. And it's because of all the crap that he has to put up with, plus all the criticisms from the fans about officiating, criticisms from the fans about ticket prices, tickets from or criticism from the media about decisions he's made and maybe the mistakes he's made along the way. I mean, I don't know. You tell me. I mean, like, that's, it's just a never ending cycle of news that comes out, and some of it's going to be negative, and he's got to deal with it.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.